This is The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. I'm Lynn Ware Peak, here with Tim Henney. Well, Eileen Dunn is the owner and founder of Dunn to Your Taste Catering, and it seems that Eileen joins us just about every year to talk about new twists on old favorites or just how to perfect the old favorites. We'll see what she has in store for us. She joins us now in the studio. Good morning to you, Eileen. Thanks for coming and happy Thanksgiving tomorrow.
Same to you, Lynn. Good to see you and Tim.
It's funny that we say new twists on old favorites. I mean, why? Is that something we need? Or it seems like you are someone who just does the old favorites really well. And I guess we could springboard into a talk of tradition and Thanksgiving. There's so much tradition, like you coming on our annual Thanksgiving show.
Oh, well, I do love traditions, and I love and you'll know that a lot of Dunn to Your Taste food, it may be new, innovative, fun, but there's always a sense of comfort. So when anybody walks in, they're not going to be afraid of the food, or they know they're going to have something that satisfies them or their palate with adding great new fun things. But as far as Thanksgiving, I feel that it's a holiday party with your family. When I have Thanksgiving dinner, I absolutely do exactly what my grandmother did and then add a few healthy, fun twists to it.
Right.
It's the one day, it's truly the one day that I think people give themselves permission to indulge, the mm-hmm. one day of the year. So I do the traditional turkey. I do the whipped potatoes. I do something different to them just to make them a little over the top, but not really. I do a traditional gravy. When I was younger, we used to have this joke. My grandmother and mother would actually get the canned cranberries. And we thought it was so funny because my dad loved the canned cranberry where you take it out, it's the whole loaf that looks like the can.
Then
we'd slice it. So every year we still put out that. No one touches it, but we still open that can and put it out. And then we always have roasted baked sweet potatoes, exactly how my grandmother made it with.
Wait, with marshmallows on top?
No, no, please. We've never done that. But what she does is she slices her sweet potatoes, or she used to. And then she does a sugar sauce, but it's brown sugar with a little bit of sugar and butter. And then you pour it over the top and you roast it. And it's like a candy crust. But it's not too sweet. You don't want to put too much on it, and especially the marshmallows, because the sweet potatoes and yams are sweet enough.
Yeah.
But it's still – and you know, it's still a favorite. And then let's see what – and then pumpkin pie. With a not too sweet whipped cream.
Yeah.
Done. I'm done. That's
and that is
and
the
vegetables.
Classic meal.
Yeah.
And back, I'm, you know, when I was a kid, which is a long time ago now, that was
yesterday, wasn't it?
That was kind of a big event, Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah.
And so the classic was sort of something very special. And you did it that way as the classic Thanksgiving dinner. And you didn't really deviate.
No,
you didn't have all these other things happening with turkeys.
When I did that, it seems like I disappointed people. Because it's the one time that it's comfort reminds me. So, you know, when we do the big thing at No Name, I've had the old ski bums and guys come by, crying, that's just like how my mom made, and blah, blah, you know, and it just makes me feel so good because that's the purpose to me of creating a holiday Thanksgiving meal. But we always add, back then it was a starch meal, starch, and bread and, you know, potatoes. Now we put just a big array of extra vegetables. But it is funny. That's what's left over.
Vegetables.
I did almond broccolini, with just olive oil, salt and pepper. And we do the pomegranate Brussels sprouts. Someone usually brings the roasted beets and root vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't do appetizers, maybe a traditional shrimp cocktail. And then I always start with the simplest salad set. And then people just finish and then they go up to the buffet. Because I have anywhere from 26 to 40 people.
That's at your house.
But the Saturday after Thanksgiving.
Yes.
And I include, that's basic, because, you know, we all catering. We don't really get the holidays off. However, after 29 years, everybody has Christmas Eve and Christmas Day off.
Wow.
And when I tell my clients, they're like, good for you. And they're not mad. So
yeah.
They understand. But I have it on Saturday. And But I make it a holiday, like my Christmas and Thanksgiving. And then I get it all done. And we have Christmas and Thanksgiving. And then I decorate my house for Christmas. And then we do all the kind of New Year's, we do all the blessings from the year before. We come up with a word, one word that describes your year. We do some entertainment, even though, as you know, we all think we're hysterical and talented. We aren't, but we still have fun with it. We sing Christmas carols. Everybody does a quote. You know, we do Dr. Seuss, Rumi. We do, you know, from everything. We just, it's a fabulous party.
I like the quote, because here's what happens typically around our family table, is that we go around, and my kids hate the going around saying what you're grateful for.
I know.
And talking about gratitude.
Yeah.
I think some year they're going to come into it. They really are. Yeah. And then they're going to go on, and they're probably going to shed some tears, and I always do. Yeah. And I think that's why they don't like it. It's like, here goes Mom. She's crying again.
Oh, they'll love that, and they'll cherish that as they get older. And just think they have their kids. I mean,
they will.
That's a definite tradition, I think. And we try to keep it short. And then once you go around, people start. But we stop doing the thankful for, and then we do a word. And there's usually thanks and gratitude for that, like, you know, joy or whatever. Anyways, but then we always put quotes down on every, like, really good quotes, and everybody has to stand up and say a quote. Oh. And I usually do like Rumi or Dr. Seuss. I kind of decorate Dr. Seussy because I love Dr. Seuss.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, Grinch and the little dog all the way. And and we always do write the music and we do a sing-along.
Wow.
You know, at the end.
I'm going to have to put a little more intention into my,
but it's my one party of the year. I mean, I'm a caterer and I do parties all the time. That's the one I get to do it, what makes me happy.
Right.
You know, or my family and my friends.
And did you say 29 years of done to your test?
29 years. So now it's forever 29. We're never going to be longer than that.
Right.
And it went by in a second. Yeah. Like, didn't I talk to you yesterday about Thanksgiving?
Yes. Well, last year.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You know,
it was. I remember when you started your business. It was so exciting.
Well, I was still waiting at the River Horse.
Uh-huh.
And I was running late because I did a bunch of stuff that day. And then I'd run in late and everybody would kind of forgive me and roll their eyes and just go,
she's starting her business.
Yeah.
We have to support her in
that. Yeah, yeah.
That's really great.
Yeah.
Well, and you're one of the very well-known caterers in this community. I mean, and the 29 years, of course, speaks to that.
Yeah,
but also, I would think some of what you're talking about with the classic feel good, comfort food, and not deviating from sort of that traditional meal. And is that part of your overall catering plan, or is that how you focus on simply on Thanksgiving?
Well, you know what? Thanksgiving, absolutely. But it's innate to me to put love in food. And when you put in love in food, comfort goes with that. Mm. So even though it's, you know, some really fabulous eat the art table interactive type thing, there's still love and there's always something comfort. And I don't want food to be intimidating for people. I think people are kind of tired of that. But even though it's comfort, it's small portions. It's, you know, you don't do huge plates of, you know, mashed potatoes or whatever. But
unless you have a nap time scheduled
right
after the meal.
Yeah, you take your nap after the meal, watch a little football, and then you start making your sandwiches. Just kidding. But if I describe my food, and I have, it's with a little bit of comfort.
And so how would you describe your turkey? What is the perfect turkey for Thanksgiving that has that love infused and is a bird of, you know, that recognizes and acknowledges gratitude on that special day?
I'm going to cry.
Yeah.
It's my grandmother, Bridget McKenna, done her turkey.
Mm. And so
when I make it,
forward.
Oh yes. And when I see her hands preparing it and opening the oven, you know, and basting it crazy and doing things, and just, it was mostly, oh geez, she put so much love in it. She loved to feed her boys, you know, and all her grandchildren, and kind of in my family, love was represented with food.
completely mm-hmm. with food.
And
what did she baste it with?
Just the juices.
Just the juices. Okay.
Yeah, and then she would put
butter
under the skin, uh-huh. and a little bit of sage, and pepper, and that's it. And then she would baste. And once, you know, the paper bag came out, mm-hmm. the paper bag, and then she would put butter inside the brown paper bag mm. and all that. But I've just changed it that I don't do the paper bag and I don't really have to baste because I turn it over and I put it breast down for the first 2 hours. And then I turn it over. You need two people to do it. And then let it brown and baste. But it really keeps the turkey uh-huh. breast moist. So it's like basting it.
So you start yeah. with the turkey breast down?
Upside down, upside like on a rack.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you got to make sure your turkey breast skin, you know, has butter and you sprayed the rack with a little bit of non-flavor oil, you know, avocado oil or something like that, and so that it doesn't stick. Because if you pull it out, sometimes the skin sticks and you want that skin perfectly right. on your turkey. So,
yeah. Fun.
So, as you said... And, you know, you're going to think this is funny, but my stuffing is white bread, toasted, celery, onions, sautéed, Campbell's chicken and rice soup.
No, say it isn't so.
It isn't so, but that is, and you know what? When we make it for No Name,
they love it.
Now, I could make it from scratch. And we, you know, at work when we do it for other parties, we want it traditional, but we do chicken stock and we don't put the rice in and more butter and mm-hmm. and stuff like that. I don't do the Campbell's, you know, chicken and rice. But for home, because my dad's 90 and he lives with us, so it has to be Nanny's food.
That's so great. Hey, you've referenced a couple of times doing it for the No Name, but I didn't know about this. Can you just briefly tell us what you do there or what the event is?
Well, Jesse reached out to us 18 years ago and asked us to cater Thanksgiving dinner because he wanted to really give a gift to all his patrons. And at that time, there was a lot of people that, you know, didn't have families here, you know, didn't really have plans. People were kind of on their own or skiing. So he wanted to give them a gift and say, here's your family and have a Thanksgiving dinner. And he puts on the full Thanksgiving dinner, very comfortable. Very simple, and he's done it for 18 years, and we're doing it. He did it 1 year himself and then called us right back. It's a lot of work. And carrying it in and stuff like that. But 250 people.
Wow.
And the more it's known, it's like a line out the door. And the food years ago used to be kind of leftover. Now they eat it till it's done. And, yeah, it How makes fun. Us happy.
Oh, that is really great.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's, again, where the guys go, it's just like my mother's.
So fun. So I have a big burning question for yep. you. Well, it's interesting. We took, last year, it was just our little family, and we went out to the San Juan Islands in the rain, and we took the Cook's Illustrated cookbook, and we're in the woods and this little cabin.
I remember you talking about this last year. Okay.
It was really great.
Yeah.
And, so my kids wanted to make the perfect mashed potatoes, mm-hmm. and somehow my son made these mashed potatoes that were runny, and he was so devastated, and I don't know what he did, maybe he put half and half in them.
No, well, he could have done that, but they would have been creamy, but he probably didn't drain the potatoes as well and overcooked them.
Overcooked them, so yeah. they had a lot of water content.
Yeah, so the water, because it wasn't creamy wet, it was like watery wet.
It was runny.
Yeah,
so
okay.
We started adding cornstarch.
Oh my God.
And then we added, like, it was the funniest thing. I even thought, like, chemically it could not happen, but it never thickened with literally, I don't know if it was the whole box of cornstarch. It was hilarious.
Oh my God.
So
did he put the corn syrup in liquid and then add it?
The cornstarch?
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Yes, he did it that way. But anyway, so he's going to, how can, if you're talking to Riley now, how's he going to do his mashed potatoes?
Riley, listen, just kidding. You know what? That'll be one of the funniest stories for the rest of your life. So, and you know, it's great to do stuff like that. So drain your potatoes. Don't overcook them.
And by overcooking, they, as Lynn said, they retain too much
water. Because they'll fall apart, and they retain tons of water, and they get that watery, mushy butt. And another thing, so you could have gone the opposite way, so you did something better than the worst thing, is over-mixing them, and then they get sticky and starchy, almost like, I only describe it as like saltwater taffy. Mm. It's like a real, it's almost like a breadfruit, you know, from the Caribbean, that starchy, sticky flavor that kind of sticks to your tongue. But anyways, Riley, back to you. So, yeah, I think you probably didn't drain it enough, which I've done. Probably overcooked them, so there was too much water in it. And then you beautifully added love with the milk or half and half. I usually do milk, but a lot of people like the extra creamy or half and half. If you're healthy, you do the almond milk. Anyways, so it just became very, very watery. Now, to save that, I would suggest not doing cornstarch, but it was a good idea. I mean, I see why you went there. But what I would do is you would automatically put that out on a sheet pan and lay it out, stick it in the oven. If you have a convection oven, stick it in the oven, and let's try to dry some of that out. Or throw in the microwave. I hate microwaves. No one should have a microwave. But when there's an emergency, there's an emergency. So throw a couple potatoes in the microwave, bake them, take the skin off, mush them, and add it to it, and still try to dry it up. You can also put them over a pan, like in a pan, and stir them and try to, you know, reduce, but that takes forever. So that's why I would save it.
Yeah.
Or I would say, oh, this is a potato souffle, and it's supposed to be kind of like a potato pudding.
You can't fool your family.
Yeah. But hey, it's a good try. Better to try and laugh than not.
Yes. And potatoes are important on this meal.
Oh, yes.
I mean, that's a big part of
right.
it. The turkey, the stuffing, the potatoes, and then yes. pie.
Gravy, cranberry, and pie. Mm-hmm. But I'm like just pumpkin pie. I myself that day don't like all the different fancy stuff. But for clients, I would do all the different fancy stuff. But for that day,
I like the pumpkin pie too.
Yeah, it's my favorite.
Bought crust or made?
Made crust. And a friend of mine who's not with us anymore, she used to grow her own pumpkins organic.
Whoa.
And make a fresh organic pumpkin pie with the most beautiful crust in the world. I'll say I could. And she'd always bring them over to my dad, and now I could cry. Christine.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the more we talk, the more we realize that Thanksgiving is so much about the feeling that goes along with it. It's about the food, but it's more about tradition and who you surround yourself
right.
with.
We make it about food, but it's not about being like a foodie. Uh-huh. Or trying yeah. something crazy and new or different. It's about traditions because Thanksgiving is a tradition. Mm-hmm. You know, it's my favorite holiday because it's not as crazy as the rest of the year. You know, it's not as crazy as 4th of July. It's not as crazy as New Year's, Christmas, yeah. you know. And like for Memorial Day and Labor Day, it's all about kids in school and getting out of school and stuff like that. So,
but you do cater meals for... I'm curious about who would be hiring you for Thanksgiving, and aside from what you do at the No Name with the Freebird, but are they second homeowners who are in town for?
Yes, but remember years ago we used to really offer it and deliver it yep. and do it for a bunch of people. That's
you,
kind of to get more. We did it for you.
Did it for us
so we've kind of stepped away from that because yep. there are caterers or other places, Whole Foods or something, that will do a simple.
Yep.
And get that done. So yeah. we kind of stayed away from that because there's so many people doing it. Yeah. And we really like doing, you know, the Friday night after or the Saturday night. So then we can play with fall flavors and, you know, that comfort food, but not the turkey dinner.
Yeah. Well, Eileen Dunn, thank you for joining us again for this annual celebration of you joining us in the studio to talk about Thanksgiving.
And thank you for having me. And I'm very, very blessed being here and having the company and enjoying what I do.
Excellent. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.